Would you open your Bible to the book of 2 Samuel? The book of 2 Samuel. And we're going to cover some territory this morning pretty quickly. And get your bulletin ready. We'll be jotting some things down. Now, while you're finding the book of 2 Samuel, and when you find it, go to chapter 7. I want to talk to you about something this morning that's very personal. Very personal. And I want you to know that I know that. I know that. It's very private. I want to talk to you this morning about your prayer life. And nothing is more personal, really, than your prayer life. That's a very personal thing, very private thing. It's a very precious thing. And interestingly, it's something we all participate. I would not think anyone listening to this sermon would say, I never have in my life prayed. We all pray. It's a very personal thing. I remember growing up as a little boy, the prayers, the bedtime prayers, and the meal prayers that my mother taught me, my mother. Many of you, your mother or your father, maybe both, whatever, taught you as a little child bedtime prayers and meal prayers. I can still remember getting down on my knees by my little bed. My mother would do the very same next to me. She taught me to put my hands just like this, and I would say my bedtime prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. In Jesus' name, amen. That was my bedtime prayer. And then at mealtime, my mother taught me to say the blessing for the food. God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, think with me a moment. We still need to say bedtime prayers and meal prayers, but listen, they do not and should not originate with our parents. Look, we're grown. We're certainly not little bitty children. Now, I have students in this room, but you're far, like, your prayers should be more than just what your mom and dad. See, our parents, they ingrain these prayers in our mind, which is good. Here I am all these years later. I can't remember what I ate for lunch day before yesterday. But I can remember my bedtime and my mealtime prayers as a little child. My mother ingrained those into my mind. But now I'm grown. I still need to say prayers, as you do as well. But they don't need to originate with our parents. They need to originate from our heart. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, in the book of 2 Samuel, I'm just going to kind of tell some of what I read in the first service. Here's this background. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, was a box, 4 feet long, 2.5 feet wide, and 2.5 feet deep. And in this box, this ark, were the Ten Commandments. And to the Jewish people, it symbolized the literal presence of God. No one would dare touch the ark. If you read in chapter 6, Abijah, one of his sons did, and he dropped dead. It was holy, very holy. And as the children of God journeyed from Egypt all the way to the promised land, the ark would just journey with them and would be kept in what you and I would just call a tent, a tent. And the Philistines at one point stole the Ark of the Covenant, and so many bad things happened to them, they wanted to get rid of it. They said, man, this thing's brought us bad, not good. And it winds back up over to man's house. We won't go into all that. But having said all that, the Bible says David got him 30,000 of his best men, and he went and got the ark and brought the ark back to Jerusalem. Now, that's a little paraphrase of what you'd read about in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, this is where we are this morning. The Bible says it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house. Now, the ark's back in Jerusalem. David's dwelling in his house. He has a house. He has a palace. And the Lord had given him rest from all of his enemies around. In other words, he's defeated all of his enemies. That the king, that is David, said to Nathan the prophet, This is the first occurrence of Nathan in the Bible. He will show up again in chapter 12 when he confronts David with his sin with Bathsheba. But here he is. The king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar. I have me a nice place to live." That's what he's saying. "But the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." David said, "There's something not right about this deal. I'm living in this nice house. It's like a palace. And the ark of God, where the very presence of God abides, it's out here in a little old tent." David said, "This is not right." He's talking to Nathan the prophet. And look what it says. He told David, he said, Nathan said to the king David in verse 3, "You go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." Now look in verse 4. "It happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying." Now, beginning with verse 5, in just the bottom line, what God told Nathan the prophet to go tell David. See, David had a good idea, it seemed to him. "I'm in this nice house. The ark of God, the very presence of God, needs a house. This is disgraceful. I'll just go build the ark of God a house." And God told Nathan the prophet, "Tell David, he's not going to build me a house like he thinks of a house. Instead, I'm going to build myself a house through his dynasty." In other words, Solomon, his son, as you know, wound up building the temple. He said, "I've used David as a warrior, but I'm not going to let David do this. I'm going to do something through David, even from his body, that he doesn't really understand." So Nathan the prophet goes back and tells David that he's not going to be the one to build that house, but instead God's going to build a different kind of house from him. And then if you look in verse number 18, David begins, after Nathan told him that, he prays to God. And beginning in verse 18 through the remainder of the chapter is this long prayer that David prayed to God after Nathan told him, "You're not going to be the one to do it." Now, in this prayer, if you look down with me in verse number 27, is what I want us to see this morning. I wish we had time to examine and exegete the whole prayer, but no. In verse 27, he's talking to God. He said, "For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house." Now look at this carefully. "Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you." So what's David saying? This big old long prayer. He's saying, "God, this prayer I'm praying to you, it's originated in my heart. It's coming from my heart, and I am praying to you." Now, if you take your bulletin, I want us to move along rather quickly. I want us to understand something this morning. Your prayers should originate in your heart. They should originate in your heart. Not from a book. Not from your head. You know, many times that's kind of how our prayers come about. We'll just, you know, somebody may ask us even in advance to pray at something. I was invited a couple of weeks ago to pray at a situation with the Chamber of Commerce. I knew it probably 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time. I agreed. Well, you know, I know how to pray a prayer. Like, I know how to go pray at something like that. If you're not careful, you'll just come, you know, you just from your head. Prayer shouldn't originate from your head. It should originate from the heart. And sometimes prayers shouldn't originate from your tongue or even from circumstances. They should originate from your heart. And this is exactly where David's prayer originated. He said in verse 27, "Your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you." Now, they're going to put something on the screen. It's not in the bulletin, but I wish you'd jot this down. Very, very important. This is key to this, what I'm teaching, what God's put on my heart this morning. Jot this down. The prayer that is answered in heaven, the prayer that is answered rather from heaven, is the prayer that begins in heaven. Let me say that again. The prayer that is answered from heaven, we want our prayers answered from heaven. Well, how does that go about? It is the prayer that begins in heaven. Now, just jot that down. We will be back to that in just a very few minutes, and I'll make it crystal clear. But that is a powerful, truthful statement. The prayer that is answered from heaven is the prayer that what? That begins in heaven. Now, so your prayers should originate from your heart. Now, unless I bring this to your attention, you don't think much about that. We just pray. And we should pray. But there's a difference between just praying and praying a prayer that has been put on the floor of your heart. And I'll develop that in just a moment, briefly. But I wish you'd jot this second thing down. Very, very important. It all fits together. And that is, the effectiveness of your prayers is dependent on the spiritual health of your heart. Boy, it's huge. You know, the Bible says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, that's what I'm saying here. The effectiveness of your prayer. And listen, folks, prayer is effective. Prayer does make a difference. But here's the deal. It's all dependent upon the spiritual health of your heart. You know, the heart, talking about the physical heart, you want your physical heart to be healthy. And we live in a day and time where there's so many tests that they have to see if your physical heart is healthy. You have EKGs, electrocardiograms, a heart cath, CAT scans, MRIs, and a multitude of other tests. It's amazing what they can find out about the human heart in this day and time to be sure that you have a healthy heart as much as possible physically. I mentioned in the first service about 3 weeks ago, you know, on January 17th, if you're new in our church, or I'm not so much about it, but on January 17th, I had something go wrong with me here at the end of the second service in my office and wound up down in the hospital. And since then, have been in and out for various of these tests about my heart. And like, we're moving along. I mean, this is all like January, February, March. It got to a point where they'd say, now you need to come back in 6 weeks, and or you need to come back in 4 weeks. Well, about 3 weeks ago, I went back. My cardiologist is Dr. Zogby, who is over the entire DeBakey Heart Institute. I'm very blessed to have him. And I didn't get him because I'm somebody. That just happened to be who I got. Because, first of all, I'm not somebody. They just treat everybody the same anyway. But he said something to me 3 weeks ago. It was the best news I'd had from the DeBakey Heart Institute since January. He put his hands on my shoulders, and he said these words. See you in a year. I thought, hallelujah, if I knew how to speak in tongues, I'd speak in tongues. What he was saying was, we finally got everything fixed or whatever, regulated, you know, as it needed to be. So I'm very happy, you know. Now that I have this physical healthy heart, I'll probably get run over by a truck trying to go home today. Who knows? But folks, more important than my and your physical heart, really, it's important. I mean, when this thing stops, we stop here. But our spiritual heart, folks, I'm telling you, this you're talking about eternity here. We're talking about eternity here. And the effectiveness of your prayers and my prayers is dependent upon the spiritual health of our heart. And I have here in the bulletin some things that will help you. Now, you know, we have these test for the physical heart. Well, you say, is there a test for the spiritual heart? Well, I'm going to call it the David heart test. This is kind of like a spiritual EKG, a spiritual heart cath. I'm going to call it the David heart test. And if you would later, you may not do it, but if you later read this prayer, beginning verse 18 through the rest of the chapter, you'll see these qualities in the heart of David. First of all, you have to have a believing heart. A healthy, a spiritually healthy heart is a believing heart. Read this prayer. It's obvious David believed there was a God, that God exists. that God exists. That is so, so very important. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he who comes to God must believe that God is. So David believed there really was a God. And I just say to you this morning, obviously you believe that, you're in church, but sometimes I think we fail to understand. I mean, God is really a person. He's God. He exists. He's not a ghost. He's not some imagination that makes us feel better. He's not a phantom out there somewhere. God is a real being, and God hears our prayers. And so when we come to God believing, oh man, the difference that makes. Not necessarily believing he's going to do what we're asking, but believing he hears and will do what is best. A spiritually healthy heart is not only a believing heart, it is a serious heart. Again, if you read David's prayer, if you read this prayer, it's obvious David was serious about God. You know, far too many people, even Christian people, are not really serious about God. Not really. Sometimes you even hear them joking. The man upstairs. When I hear somebody say that, I always want to just punch them. But I can't do that. I'm a minister. Why? It'd be awful. I don't really mean that. But it just breaks my heart. God, the man. But, you know, people serious about God. You know, people are serious about God. Things are drastically different. They pay attention to what God says. With God's help, they try to do what God says. I want to encourage you. It will impact your prayer life. Be serious about God. Be serious about God. David was. And not only that, a spiritually healthy heart is a humble heart. Read this prayer of David. Boy, you talk about a man humbled. You see it in this prayer. He had this big idea of what he was going to do. Nathan the prophet said, no, that's not what God's going to do. He humbled old David. He said, no, that's not your assignment. You know, if a person doesn't have a humble heart, he really won't, first of all, pray much because he won't see any reason to pray. I mean, if a person is prideful, they just have this idea, whatever happens, I'll just fix it. I don't have to get God in that. Now, there are these few little things out here I can't fix. Folks, listen to me. There are lots of things out here we can't fix. Could I have an amen? We get to believe in, oh, I've got money, position, prestige. I have education. It doesn't matter. They're just things in life you can't fix. And listen, many things that we can fix and we do fix, we could fix them much better if we got God involved in that. I want to encourage you, have a humble heart. Now, this prayer that David prayed, look again at that 27th verse. This is so, I hope you underline in your Bible. He said, your servant has found in his heart to pray this prayer to you, O God. Now, go back to that little thing that you wrote. Look at it again. The prayer that is answered from heaven is the prayer that begins in heaven. There it is again. Now, let me explain how this works, because this is really important. What God does, and you see it all through the Bible, and you'll see it in your life if you know where to look. God puts on the floor of our heart things, and then he inclines us to pray over these things. And that's how this works. The prayer that is answered from heaven is the prayer that begins in heaven. And I've had that happen so many times. You have as well. Maybe you weren't aware of just what was going on. You see, many things just come to our mind. They may be good things. I believe I'll pray about that. Well, that's good. But there are those things that God puts on the floor of your heart, and you begin to realize that. And then what God does, he inclines you to begin praying about that. Well, one good example would be something I shared here last Sunday. For over, I guess, 3 years, 2 to 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years at least, both John and I have felt that God had put on the floor of both of our hearts independently that as we had opportunity, we needed to get the message beyond the walls of this church. And we've prayed about radio. We've prayed about TV. We've been involved in a lot of things. This almost happened. That almost happened. Nothing was just ever right. Well, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, an opportunity came. We never had ceased praying about it, not every day, but I just knew it was on the floor of my heart as he did. And an opportunity came, and it just was obvious. God had inclined us. We'd never ceased praying about it. And so here it was. And the wonderful thing is this opportunity opens door to a lot of other opportunities. I didn't go into that and won't now. But the bottom line was, I thought, we've got to pay for this thing. Now, the simple way to do that would have been to, we've got budget overage. It all goes to the building program, but we've got a kind of an unallocated account where something comes up. But I thought, no, if God gave this, I began to pray. God just put in my heart, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And I began to pray. And God said, just go out and tell the people. And I'll have hearts prepared to take care of this matter. And so last Sunday, I came out here, and I just shared what God had put on the floor of my heart. And the most interesting thing happened is in one Sunday, each program is $250 a program, beginning October 2nd. I think we're paid up. People have already just given to pay us up to about June. Well, that was just what happened. God put something on the floor of my heart, and then when it finally came to be, and then we shared it, just like what God had put in our heart, people are involved in it, people be praying about it. It's a wonderful thing. Now, another good example would be, and I brought it along, this Joshua team deal. If you're visiting today, the Joshua team is made up of people who've made a commitment for 40 days to pray, read their Bible, and pray 30 minutes each day for 40 days. Now, and thus far that we know, and we know there are many others, but we have 562 people who've committed to do that. Here they are. And last week, they were all sent this sheet. And the purpose is to say what we're going to do is ask you every day as you pray. I have mine stapled together this morning where I won't throw papers all over the floor, but I'm going to lay my sheets out on my table in my study. I'm going to put my hands over my sheets and pray God's blessings on all these people as they're praying. But here's the deal. I'm up at the Cove, and as clear as I know God, God put on my heart, bottom of my heart, the floor of my heart, when you go back, you need to somehow, you need to get people reading the Bible and praying more consistently and more. Now, that's all I knew. Well, that was kind of in my head. I thought, well, that's a good idea. But He just began to incline me to pray more and more about that. Now, he didn't put on the floor of my heart, develop the Joshua team. That's not what had happened at all. I just was working on a sermon in Exodus chapter 33. I think it's down about verse number 11, where it said Joshua never left the tent. He just stayed there with God. And I thought, we need more Joshuas. Where are the Joshuas? Where are the Daniels? Where are the Davids when it comes to prayer? And it began to click. God just kept dealing with me on that. Okay, but see, I've learned something. God never works just on one end. God always is working on both ends. When God's working here, he's working there. And so when I shared that, there was just a tremendous response. And I know that everybody's name's not here because some, like a wife, signed up and she didn't include her husband's name. She just figured we'd figure it out. The 562 names here that we know about, plus many others that already were doing it. Well, this is not some select group. This is just a group of people that said, you know what? I need to do that. If you say, well, I don't know what I'd do for 30 minutes, go by member services. I've given you a little thing there. You can't do that in 30 minutes, and I know it. But the point I make is this. This is what happens when God puts a prayer on the floor of your heart. Know this. If he does that, he will incline you to pray that, and it will become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, many times we just have a good thought go through our mind. 2 days later, we can't remember what the thought was. When God puts a prayer on the floor of your heart, don't worry. You won't have to forget that one. You won't have to remember that one, excuse me. It will always be, it just grows and grows and grows. Now, where does that take us this morning? Well, number one, I would encourage you this morning, always believe there is a God. He does exist. Always be sincere about God. And always be humble, but be thankful that when God puts a prayer on the floor of your heart, He will incline you to keep praying about that prayer, and then He will make it happen in His own way, in His own power. Now, I want you to bow with me this morning. I would just, with all my heart, believe in our gathering here today that there's some here that God has put on the floor of their heart that they need to be saved. They need to be saved. Somehow God's made that very clear. Others, that they need to settle their salvation. Maybe you say, I think I'm saved. I'm not really 100% sure. But this is just something from time to time I think about. Now, that's the Holy Spirit of God. That is a prayer that God has put on the floor of your heart. He inclines you to think about it. This morning, you need to settle that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you, and I ask you right now to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and make me a Christian. Others this morning, you might say, you know what, I've prayed that prayer, but I just don't have a peace of assurance of my salvation. You just need to add a P.S. to that prayer and say, this morning, God, I just want to settle my salvation. If I'm already saved, I thank you. If I'm not, God, I settle it this morning. Others of you this morning, you know you're saved. You have the assurance of your salvation. Other than being saved, nothing's greater than to be saved and know you're saved. But maybe this morning, God has put on the floor of your heart, you need to come and be a part of our church right here. This is where God's leading you to do something. Not only just to worship God. Yes, you must do that. That's how you know where to go to a church. When you leave the church, you feel like you've been to church. That's just an old country preacher's way of saying that. All these churches out here, God's churches, they're teaching Jesus. They're teaching Jesus. It doesn't matter what their size, but we don't all fit every church. We have our favorite grocery store. It just fits us. We have our favorite place normally that we buy our gasoline. It just kind of fits us. We fit there. We feel at home there. All these stores sell groceries. All these service stations sell gasoline. Yeah, but there's one that you frequent the most. Same deal with church. You go to church and you just leave and you say, man, I feel like I've been to church today. I feel like I've worshiped God today. That's the Holy Spirit's way of saying, this is for you for now to be your church. Father, I believe this morning you have put on the floor of hearts decisions that need to be made this morning. I know how Satan works. Oh, do I ever. Do I ever. Do I ever. He always says, not today, not now. But God, he'll be saying the same thing next Sunday. He'll be saying the same thing the following Sunday. He'll be saying the same thing till the world ends. God, let us not listen to the devil. Let us listen to our heart. Those things you've put on the floor of our heart. This morning, God, for some who need to come and make their decision, I pray you'd give them the faith and courage and joy to come. May their coming encourage others to come, is my prayer in Jesus' precious name.